Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 50. In this section, we have come into a portion that deals very specially with the promise of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And he is set forth here as the servant of the Lord, the one who suffers for God's people, the one who is our great Redeemer. So Isaiah chapter 50. Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. May God bless the reading of his most holy word. Our text this evening is found in the chapter that we read, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Can it be a child of light walking in darkness? One who trusts in the Lord, who fears the Lord, who has that reverent fear that is the beginning of wisdom, that is the root of all godliness, yet walking in darkness, fearing and troubled, not sure of what is to come. Our text says very much, it is possible, and exhorts that one to keep on believing. It is possible because we live in a fallen world, because we live in a world where human sin ruins and spoils everything. But it is possible to keep on trusting in God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his work, he is our great example here, the one who in dark Gethsemane felt the tempter's power, who there struggled and prayed, who gave his back to those who struck him. His cheeks are those who plucked out the beard. He who was made to suffer as no man has suffered. He who in the midst of suffering trusted the Father even upon the cross itself. And so we are exhorted and encouraged by his example, who is more than an example, by his wondrous humanity. For he too is a believing man and true Almighty God at the same time. He is our example because he is more than our example. And so he who walked by faith in the fullest sense encourages us to walk by faith also. We see here in this chapter first the doubt of suffering Zion. Secondly, the declaration of the Lord himself, the servant who speaks of his own experience unto his people. And thirdly, the darkness in which the child of light must walk and which the child of darkness seeks to dispel by wicked means. The doubt, first of all, then the declaration, and thirdly, the darkness. First, the doubt. Here is suffering Zion. And God speaks to suffering Zion and repeats Zion's worry and concern. Zion's thought is, why are we abandoned? Why are we suffering like this? Has God forgotten his people? Has God cast us off? We don't deserve this, they think. And so often it is that our own sinful hearts speak as Zion did. We don't deserve this. Well, the reality is that sinful Zion did, and so do we. And yet at the same time, their apprehensions were wrong, their fears were false, because God had not abandoned them. Where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? The picture is that of children complaining about their father's conduct. Has their father divorced their mother? In the economy of ancient Israel, if a couple were divorced, they could never be remarried. When the certificate was issued, that was it. The marriage was over and the two were sundered, never to be brought together again. Or again, it might happen that owing to debt, financial hardship, children would be sold into slavery by their parents who could not support them. Slavery here was not a desirable thing, it never is, but better the children be sold to pay off the debts than the children starve to death because of the debt. But again, God says, neither of these match your situation, Zion. It isn't that I have put away Zion, my wife, Israel. It is not that God has any creditors whom, because of financial difficulties, he has to sell his people. No, the cause of Zion's situation, the cause of Zion's trouble, is sin. They said, we do not know why this is happening. But God says, yes, you do. It is sin, because sin ruins everything. And it is the sad experience of the children of God that it is not only unbelievers who suffer as a result of sin. God's people often do as well. God's answer is, the fault is in you, do not blame me. But he doesn't just stop there. For he says, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Now there are some who would say at that point, but because of their sin, God's hand has lost its power. His hand is shortened. His power, he has no power to deliver them. But when God asks these questions, the answer is not, well, yes. The answer expected is no. These are rhetorical questions, the answer to which is no. You see, Zion's situation is this, that sinful as she is, God's power is still there for her. That God's people, convicted of their own sin, are not to lie down in despair and say, there is nothing that God can do for me. But to look and say, what God has done for me, he can do again. Look at the picture here. With my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. This is Exodus language. This is the language of when Israel was brought out of Egypt. And God here says, I am still the same. Do not fall into despair. Do not say, oh, God has helped me once and saved me, delivered me, but he cannot deliver me anymore. No, he can. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. The doubting Christian who fears, I have abandoned everything. By my sin, I have forfeited all the privileges of God. To him, God says, no, you have not. Return unto me. And do not think that my response will be to say, you had your chance and you blew it. One preacher in the United States, and many have said it, God is the God of second chances. He gives us a second chance. Well, depends what you mean by that. But the gospel is not God gives you a second chance. The gospel is God saves you from your sins. That God delivers you. It was a much wiser thing that Martin Luther said in that great declaration that sparked off, as it were, the great Reformation. When our Lord Jesus Christ said, repent, he will that the Christian's whole life be repentance. It is a daily turning from sin. Christ taught his people to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. He is as willing to forgive our sin, to forgive your sin, as he is to give you your daily bread. And it is a daily need. We daily need to come for cleansing, for forgiveness. For if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is not a text that is spoken and written to unbelievers. It is a text that's written to the church. He is faithful and just. So different, you see, from how Zion thought. Zion thought that God has somehow abandoned us and proved unfaithful. But no, it is in deliverance, in salvation, in grace and forgiveness that he is faithful and just because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We need the gospel every day. The gospel is not just the door that lets you into the church. The gospel is not just found in that great visible word of baptism. That sacrament, that ordinance that is the doorway, as it were, visibly to the church that says, this is one who is cleansed of sin. The gospel's in the Lord's Supper as well. Both ordinances are pictures of the gospel. And in the Lord's Supper we eat and drink and we confess that daily we are fed with the blood, the body of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The answer to doubt, God says, is remember I am the Saviour who brought you out of Egypt, that I save from death, destruction and despair, from slavery, from captivity. He answers doubt with a word of grace. How glorious it is indeed. He has not changed. And so we may come to him. And then again, we see the declaration, for a voice comes forth, a voice in verse 4, one who speaks and tells us, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Who is this who speaks but the Lord Jesus Christ? The one who said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The one who calls the weary to himself. A word in season indeed, a word that says, I am your rest. I am your refuge. I am your hope. I am your all. Come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is our prophet, priest, and king. And he here is the priest and the prophet. The prophet is the one who comes with the word of God. He brings the word of the Lord. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. I always do the things that please my Father, he said. I hear my Father and do them and do as he says. Christ is the perfect servant, the truly obedient one, the one who listens to the words of his heavenly Father, who hears him in a special way, and in return, in answer, the Father says, this is my beloved Son, hear him. No man ever spoke like this man, was the testimony of those who listened to him. He knows how to speak. He has the tongue of the learned. He speaks the very word of God, and he was not rebellious, nor did he turn away. What a difference there is between him and sinful Zion for whom he comes. Because sinful Zion confesses our sins. And Christ was manifested to save us from our sins. He is the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. He is the one who on that first Christmas the angels announced, there is born for you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He is the perfectly obedient one for the disobedient ones. He is the one who has done what we could not do. Your debt he has paid and your work he has done, says the hymn writer. Christ has done all this for you. He speaks of his active obedience, that he always does that which pleases the Father, but he speaks also of his passive obedience, that is, that he obeyed in suffering, that he suffered for us, the just for the unjust, to bring us unto God. I gave my back to those who struck me, he says, and we think of him in the judgment hall. We think of him smitten, whipped, and beaten by wicked men who knew not that they were doing the will of God, but delighted in doing the will of their own sinful hearts. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. This declaration of his, as he speaks of his obedience, answers our need. Because we have not been obedient, and so we have earned God's great wrath and indignation. But Christ, who is perfectly obedient, has borne wrath and indignation. Christ has done your work, but he has also paid your debt. He has borne your guilt upon his shoulders. And so, Christian, when you feel crushed by your sins, say, yet all my sins were laid upon him. See, all your sins on Jesus laid. Behold him. Behold him there. Behold him in the garden. Behold him on the cross. His obedience, even unto death. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the lowest death, the vilest death for us and our salvation. Here is the Saviour. Look unto me, he says, and we look unto him. We see him here then as our Saviour in verses 4 to 6. But then we see him, verses 7 to 9, as our example as well. Let us never sever these two facts about Christ, that he is our Saviour who has done a work that nobody else can do, and that he is our example who shows us the way that we should go. He is our example, the scriptures tell us, because he is more than our example. And see him here as the great example of faith. This is what it means to trust in God in the midst of suffering and trouble. He knew, indeed he knew, that beyond the cross was the crown. Maybe you are tempted to think, well, he knew, I don't know what's coming. Yes, you do. Because though you do not know the details, yet we know this, that all Christ's people shall be delivered, that we shall be raised from the dead, transformed, made like him, free from sin, purified. Yes, you do know what's coming. Not the details, but the broad outline. And you know, and we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. We may not know how they are working for good right now, but we know that they are working together for good. And we know this also, that where he is, there we shall be also. You are on a journey. It's a journey that the old writer Mr. Bunyan pictures in his Pilgrim's Progress, the journey from this world to the next. The journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. The journey from sin to glory. You are on that journey. And Christ is the example. He left us an example that we might follow in his footsteps. An example of trusting. And he says, the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. And every Christian can say that. The Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Because we are united to him. This faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a faith that will never, never lead to shame. You shall never be confounded, put to shame utterly in the Lord Jesus. Oh, there is difficulty, there are trials. There are times when we shall fall and stumble. But there is an end, and that end is glory. That end is the word of the Father who says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." Who says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." There is peace and joy to the Christian because we know where the journey ends. It ends in glory. And therefore we can believe. "Who is he who will condemn me?" Christ says. And his people say, "Who is it who condemns? It is Christ who died. It is Christ who died for me. My condemnation he has borne, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood." Hallelujah, what a saviour. So Christian, this is Christ, your example. Follow his footsteps. And oh, you will be vindicated by God, not for your righteousness, but for his name's sake, but because of Christ's righteousness. His righteousness is laid upon you, and you are clothed in his righteousness divine. And so it is that you are holy, not in yourself, not in the sense of being without sin, but your sin is pardoned in Christ. Christ is all, Saviour and example. He declares it. Listen to his word. Hear him. "This is my beloved Son," the Father says. Hear him. And thirdly, we see the darkness. The reality of Christian experience. There are times of darkness and trial. Now, it is not all of God's people who suffer this. I'm aware of that. The text suggests that this is a particular case. But there are many of God's people who do go through times of darkness, who do struggle with the reality that we walk in a wicked world and we find sin in our own hearts. And here we have this case, the child of light walking in darkness. Now there are two great, great works on this text that I would refer you to if you wish to go into greater detail. The old Puritan Thomas Goodwin wrote a great book, over 100 pages in the Nickel edition, the Banner of Truth edition. A Child of Light Walking in Darkness. And J.C. Philpott, the great strict Baptist preacher of Stamford, preached a sermon, "The Heir of Heaven Walking in Darkness and the Heir of Hell Walking in Light." What a contrast we have here between these two groups in verse 10 and verse 11. First of all, the child of light walking in darkness. "Who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant?" Or not perfectly. Nobody does. But you are a believer. You fear the Lord. You have that reverence for God. You tremble at his word. It is your distress that you do not love the Lord as much as he is worthy. You fear the Lord. You read the scripture. You seek to follow his word. And yet you feel no certainty, no assurance. And yet you struggle with sin and anxiety, with thoughts that rise up and you know not where they came from. And you ask yourself, "Am I his or am I not?" You walk in darkness and have no light, no comfort. It is a terrible thing to walk in true darkness. For you cannot see the way ahead. You cannot see what lies around. And everything around is anxiety and trouble and trial and what is to be done. And God says, only trust me. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. We walk by faith and not by sight. When darkness veils his lovely face, I trust in him, I rest on his unchanging grace. Trust him. It is God's word, and it is trusting him who has spoken. Trust the Lord Jesus. Follow him. Hear him. You fear the Lord, you obey the voice of his servant. You have yet no comfort, but keep on going. For there is an end to the darkness. And there is an everlasting joy, an everlasting light to come. Keep on keeping on through the darkness. For though it seems as black as night, and though you see no end to it, yet there is an end, for God has said so. Trust him, and you shall come at last into his eternal joy. And you shall look back at last and rejoice and say that Jesus led me all the way. Who is he? Who is the child of light walking in darkness? Walk on and know the darkness has an end, for God will chase it away, and you shall enter into his joy at the last. Keep on trusting in the darkness. With darkness all around, keep trusting in God. But then there is the opposite figure here. There is the child of darkness walking in light. All you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks. Here is the darkness. But this one produces something to light it up, but it is not the sun. Not the sun of righteousness who rises with healing in his wings. It is not the moon that God has created that reflects the glory of the sun. It is not the stars that God has made to light the night. It is a fire of his own making. He calls forth from himself his own resources. He is his own saviour, so he thinks. He has created all these works that he believes will light the way. He encircles himself with sparks and he seems so filled with rejoicing. There are many sparks and many fires that men have kindled. The fire of a false profession, worked up within his own heart, but there is no truth to it. The fire of a ritualism that is a mere going through motions. The fire of a supposed baptismal regeneration, when a man believes that because he has been baptized, then all must be well with his soul, though he does not trust in God. But what does God say to those who create these phantoms of the mind? Walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks you have kindled. Walk in total reliance on self. Ye who rely on self. He abandons these self-reliant men, these men who cast off God and walk their own ways, and they call themselves enlightened. And they call themselves free. But God says to them, walk in the light of your fire and the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. There is that which seems a comfort, and is no comfort. There is that which seems to help, but actually hinders. False religion, false ideas, false ideologies, Islam, for example. The Muslims have this light that is darkness indeed, and the end thereof is death. So here is one who seems to walk in the light, and yet it is a light that leads to death. It is the will-o'-the-wisp in the marshland that leads not along the right path, but into the marsh and into death and perishing. But the child of light would rather walk for a time in darkness if it is God's will, knowing he will come out the other end to glory. For here is another contrast. The end of those who walk in their own lights is death. But the end of those who walk in the light, and walk in darkness even, while trusting in God, their end is glory, their end is eternal rest. Those who walk in their own lights will lie down in torment. But those who trust in the Lord, even walking in darkness, shall live and sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There shall enjoy forevermore God's grace and glory. We look at the Lamb's finished work, at Christ's work, his suffering for us. We who walk in his footsteps in suffering enter also into his glory. And his suffering was but for a time, but his glory is eternal. Who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Amen.